Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9, the game on a Tuesday. Coming up, we're going to talk with Dave Archer. He's the analyst for our Atlanta Falcons, calls the games of West, and we'll get his thoughts on the upcoming game with the Bills on Monday night. We'll talk more about what's going on around the NFL and a big trade today that is going to be interesting. But he can still sling it. They know that, and they need some help right now until they get their guy back. We'll tell you more about that in just a minute. But, Mike, you have been involved with this for many, many years. We, as a show, have gotten involved with this, and it's coming up again.
Hey, man, it's called Paint Gwinnett Pink. Just put the link up at Mike Bell ATL. I think most of us have got somebody in their lives who've dealt with cancer. In this case, it's breast cancer. It's a 5K walk run. And what's really cool about it, over the years, it's been over at Cool Ray Field, and they've kind of outgrown that area. So now it's going to be at the Gas South District. So that's going to be pretty cool over on Sugarloaf. Oh. And it's coming up, guys, a week from Saturday. So if you want to get the details, it's up there at Mike Bell ATL. 5K walk run for breast cancer, and they celebrate survivors. And it's really, if you've ever been to it for the first time, you'll be like, I'm not crying, you're crying. But it's an amazing event. And of course, we're always involved with the community. We raised over $3 million over the years, looking to come up with a $500,000 this time around. So get registered, walk, run, or just show up and support. But Pink Gwinnett Pink, Dukes and Bell, man, will be a part of it again.
Yeah. It's a great cause, great people involved, and it is something we hope you get involved in. All right. Part of the discussion all this offseason leading into the season was about Shedeur Sanders. What if I told you now he's a play away? I don't wish injury on anybody, but every backup quarterback is a play away. And now Shedeur is the backup. You're going, wait a minute. No, he's not. It's Joe Flacco. Let's get to 4th and 1. So the Browns trade Joe Flacco and a 6th-round pick to the Bengals for a 5th-round pick. Why? Well, Jake Browning's not doing it. And if they're going to stay in contention and they're going to attempt to stay in the standings as far as being a playoff contender until Joe Burrow gets back, they need help right now. Bengals are 2-3, but, Mike, that offense has just been dead. And Joe Flacco can still throw the ball vertically, so you go get a guy who's a vet. Can't be any worse than what it's been.
Yeah, but this goes back to the question about Kirk Cousins. I mean, this seems like the perfect case study for where we thought a team's dead in the water. They got big-time resources on the offensive side. There's expectations of the Super Bowl preseason injury. Okay, Kirk Cousins, not happening. So if you can't pull this deal off, now again, that's not to say, I don't want to even mention it for bad karma, but somebody else, Carlos, the starting quarterback on a playoff contender, goes down, but we're going to run out of weeks before you know the trade deadline comes and goes. But this is one where they're going to go with Flacco, Jake Browning. All he's got going for him is that incredibly hot wife of his who wears very skimpy outfits, especially when it's cold weather. But you will not be seeing shots of her anymore on the sideline, as it's Flacco. And to your point now about Shedeur Sanders, you know, what if Dillon Gabriel stinks it up? You know, are they prepared to, you know, get Shedeur in there? And then he can finally, we can settle this stupid argument once and for all. If it was the greatest conspiracy or this guy really can't play.
I think he's going to play regardless. The Browns need to figure out where they're going next season. They got a bunch of picks. They could easily go back into the quarterback draft and draft another quarterback if they want to. Mike, before the season's over, win, lose, or draw, they got to figure out whether one of these guys is good enough. And that's why Shedeur eventually is going to play. It may not be the next 2 weeks, fine. Right. But the season is long, guys, and they're going to play this guy so they can figure out, hey, Dillon's good, Shador's good, we feel like we can have a competition here, one of these guys is going to be our guy down the road. Or neither one of them can play, And we got to get back into the quarterback business and go draft one because they got a bunch of picks. The Browns have maneuvered in a way where, remember, they gave up a lot of picks to get Deshaun. We forget. But now they've recouped a bunch of that in some of the deals that they've done. And so they're really in a good position going into next season as far as the draft. But you got to figure out if one of these guys can play.
Look, you still got a foundational edge rusher, which not every team has, in Myles Garrett. You still got a bunch of weapons out there. I'm with you. And as we said, you know, the hue and cry over this, like it certainly surprised a lot of folks. Cam Ward has not yet distinguished himself in any fashion. I mean, they got a win, but that was more about Arizona completely blowing it on Sunday out in Phoenix. But it's just one of those where you're like, please, I just want to see what he can do. One way or the other, with the star, you know, because you can't judge from the preseason.
You can't.
You know, with playing with guys who get cut, you know, they're, you know, the fourth string dudes. Hey, some bad news for people that own Brock Bowers in your fantasy league. Adam Schefter reporting, which apparently some Raider insiders have known, that Brock Bowers has been dealing with a PCL issue.
Ooh.
That's the posterior cruciate ligament. Anybody who's ever had an issue with the PCL, and I've had it, it wobbles. You can't put weight on it. It feels very unstable. And the only thing that makes it better is rest. So if you're Brock Bowers and you're the Raiders, I mean, yikes. They just got smoked by the Colts, and it looks like he won't be around anytime soon. He's got to rest it up.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. He's their best player, and he's just a game changer. He would make Geno so much better because Geno would trust to throw the ball to him. He's tried to play through this, but Mike's right. It's just not the same. He's got to get that worked on. Meanwhile, while we're talking about what's going on around the league, let me hear Ja'Marr Chase talking about what's going on in Cincinnati. Big trade because, again, you don't see a lot of this, especially this early in the season. And by the way, before we get to that, let me ask you something. You guys think the Falcons are not trading Kirk Cousins because of the way things went down with him and saying, you're good?
No, I think if somebody – you're just going to try to massage, try to get somebody to take some of the money off the books and just try to leverage it for a good day two pick, in my mind.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think there's anything malicious.
Okay.
Now, if I was a GM,
I'm just asking.
Well, you know,
they did not like the way that went down.
No, and this is why Kirk Cousins gives us dirty looks at practice. At least he did this summer.
Burning eyes.
I didn't see it. I was told by Day-Day. I didn't actually see it.
Your forehead should be on fire.
I guess, but you know, it's just if you say, and I understand the argument. Any player worth his salt is not going to take himself out of a game. But you get to the point
you're right about that, Mike.
You get to the point where you're hurting the squad. And then, you know, to sit there and get into literally quibbling over your mention one day on the injury report that it was a typographic error, and then you're saying you're fine, and then you go out of your way to let everybody in the world know that you were not even close to 100%.
Okay.
That's why I lost a lot of respect for Kirk. I don't think he's a bad person. I think he just doesn't have an off switch. I think he loves the spotlight. I think there's a little bit of, I mean, most narcissists, you know, you can be a good person to be a narcissist, I guess, as long as you're not hurting other people.
Who are you talking about?
But I think that there's something about that that's involved in this equation.
All right.
If I'm honest.
This is all I'm saying, and I know nothing. But what if teams have called and they've been like, he's not available? I don't know anything.
Well, I mean,
I'm just saying.
Well, that you know what that plays out to people who said it was the greatest, the highest price and still the stupidest, but still the greatest insurance policy ever in the history of the NFL.
Well, I think, Mike, if things had gone differently, and this is where I'm at, if it was handled differently, because what it made it out to be was like it was the team's fault and not his fault, that this injury took place and it wasn't handled the way it should have been and all of that. We don't want to go back. But all I'm saying is, what if teams have called and they've been like, it's not available?
Well, then that could be the stick it to you.
That's what I'm saying.
What's the line from Days of Thunder? Japanese inspection. Just let the lettuce sit on the dock.
Just let it sit.
For months and months and months. All right. We got to wait to inspect that. In other words, you basically say screw you.
Well, because Falcon fans are like, look, Cousins is better than Flacco right now at his point in his career, isn't
correct.
He?
Yes.
He's better.
Yes.
Why?
By any metric.
Okay, so why wouldn't you call us?
He's not available.
What?
I
don't know any. I'm just saying, isn't that weird? You call Flacco over Cousins if you really want to improve over the next 6 weeks before Joe Burrow gets back.
So
I'm just saying.
She's telling me Fontenot saying, this I don't forget.
I don't know. I'm not going to put that on Fontenot. I'm just saying.
Interesting.
Guys, I've been doing this a long time. Front offices hold grudges just like players do. And if you're going to say that they don't, you don't get it. All I'm telling you is, if you say, and we're paying him already, what happened in the past ticked us off, and guess what? He's sitting the bench, and he's our backup. He's going to be here. Then you do that.
All right, for those that are interested, the NFL trade deadline is the Tuesday before our Berlin game, November 4th. So if you're just following along, and again, let's just say, I don't want to say a name because I think that's bad luck, but a starting quarterback on a playoff caliber team,
sure.
And all of a sudden the offer is going to help you mitigate some of your cost, and you get a really good day two pick. Maybe still happens. Hey, man, talked about it to start the show. The Chiefs fall to the Jaguars. Do you think the officiating was as bad as I thought it was?
Look,
or is it just always magnified because it is Kansas City?
That's it right there. It's magnified because of the Chiefs, and they always feel like they're getting the breaks.
But the Chiefs work on the margins as they did with that pick play at the goal line.
Everybody feels like the Chiefs are now what the Patriots were. They get all the calls. They get all the breaks when it comes to questionable calls. And you always felt like the Patriots were getting over during their heyday, right, when Brady was there and they're winning all the time. That's what it feels like with the Chiefs. And I just think it's magnified now because, Mike, social media goes bananas when a call like this is not made and everybody goes, wait a minute. And then you see the memes and everything. It just gets carried away.
I ended the show yesterday and I was clearing my throat talking about why does Jonathan Gannon have to apologize to Amari DeMarcado for doing one of those stupid things where you leave the ball at the goal line, and it basically contributed to a loss. They had the turnover off the turnover at the end, but it would have been 28-6, and maybe even then, Carl, Arizona doesn't blow that game to the Titans. If you didn't see it, Amari DeMarcado drops the ball right there at the goal line. It's the classic touchback, and Gannon goes nuts, and he was being consoled at the time. Some players were yelling at him, too, by the way, and coaches. So it wasn't just Gannon. I guess there was the threat or the specter of maybe the Players Association, Carl, making a beef, you know, with the league about it. For what it's worth, Gannon apologizes to DeMarcado. Let the moment get the better of me, and he made a mistake by brushing up against the player on the sideline. You know, I mean, how soft are we in 2025? It was a stupid mistake.
Yeah.
Other coaches would have knocked your block off, but that's 2025, and so feelings, nothing more than feelings.
I want you to hear Jonathan Gannon talk about the sideline blow-up, and then I'll tell you where I'm at on this. Here he is.
I woke up this morning and didn't feel great about it, honestly. And so in the team meeting, I addressed it. I apologized to Omari, apologized to the team. And I just told him I kind of let the moment of what happened get the better of me there. Obviously, like I try to be emotionally stable and calm because my job is to solve problems when during a game and kind of lead the charge on that. So it's not really who I am, who I want to be, and I told the guys that today.
Okay. I mean, sometimes, Coach, you know, as we said, my dad said, you know, you try to always avoid fights and physical violence, and then sometimes somebody just has it coming. But anyway, what do you think?
Look, I was raised in a family where there were consequences, and even if you were out and about, those consequences took place. It didn't matter where we were. And I think, Mike, that's lost. I think that when players screw up and when players do things that they shouldn't do,
right,
the public consequences play into you not doing it again. There was nothing worse than being shamed or spanked, you heard me, by my mother in a grocery store or being out or being at church and understanding the consequences of that and not wanting to ever do those things again. It matters. And so when I see guys apologizing for what a coach should do, and that is holding a player accountable for something he did that was wrong publicly, despite how nasty it looked, it's what needs to happen.
Right. I mean, he didn't Woody Hayes the guy. He didn't clothesline him. He brushed his arm against him and walked away. He was like, nah! He rubbed up against him, and he's got to make it all apologize. Because the guy did one of those. This isn't college. This isn't high school. You're a professional. Personal responsibility and accountability. Now the coach has got to fall on his sword.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
I hate it from that standpoint. Because the best way to allow him to never do that again is to let everybody see how you went in on him.
Right.
That's it. All right. We'll see where that goes. Want to remind you, college football action, we've got you guys. It's brought to you by Window Nation. It starts Saturday at 8 a.m. with our show. That's right, college football game time. The fellas, that's Chris Goforth, John Fricke, Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman will have you set up, get you ready for all the big matchups. 11:30, we got Ohio State taking on Illinois. And it's all going down this Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're coming back. We'll find out what Dave Archer thinks about the Buffalo Bills next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. Let's talk to our man, Dave Archer. He's the analyst for our Atlanta Falcons. By the way, what'd you do this bye week, man? Did you get some time down, some downtime? What'd you do?
Yeah, I had a little downtime, a little barbecue, stuff like that. You know, just watch some college football. It's fun to be able to settle into some college football. Not like I don't do that every Saturday when I get a chance, but it was nice not to know that you had to grind to get ready for another game. Breathe a sigh of relief that we took care of business a week ago Sunday and get ready for the Bills on a Monday night.
And we were just talking about it, Arch. You know, we know Josh Allen, it goes without saying, get him on the ground. Don't let him beat you up. But if we got the horses now and what we've done the last couple of years in the draft as far as the linebacker core in the front seven.
Well, I know you're going to have to bring your pads. This guy's 6'5", 240 pounds. He's as big as anybody we're going to have on the field other than defensive tackles. So if I'm Jalen Walker coming off the edge, this guy's about the same size I am. So you better get ready. It's a different animal, literally. I mean, we've faced guys that can move around the first 4 weeks of the season, but this guy's different. It's almost as though if you're going to rush four at this guy, he's looking to run. And it's part of their – it's not a called run, but it almost is kind of the second piece of the play. When he drops the throw – if you give him a lane, he realizes on first and second down, hey, I'm going to go get five. I'm going to go get seven. Maybe I'm going to go get 10 and get a first down. And he's different in that way from other guys where I think he looks to run in early down situations almost as if it's part of the offense.
Arch, when you talk about the Bills' defense, they've got a pretty good one. We were talking about these numbers earlier. We are pretty good ourselves, and I don't think we're getting the credit or the love we deserve quite yet, and that's fine. But, you know, statistically, we're both top 10 when you talk about total defense, and then you start talking about, you know, us against the pass. But the one area where they're not as good is stopping the run. Let's talk a little bit about this, and that's something I think we can attack them Monday night.
Yeah, I'd like to think so, Carl. You'd like to be able to think as you can get after them in the run game. The thing that's nice about our numbers is we're pretty good against both. Sometimes when you're weak in one area, then it changes and skews the numbers against the pass. The reason they're pretty good against the pass is teams haven't had to throw it against them. They've been able to run it. I think that the one thing that gets lost and how good both teams are defensively, and I don't want to take any of the kudos away from our defense. Our defense has held four consecutive opponents, and I'd challenge anybody to go find a stretch where Atlanta's defense has held four consecutive opponents under 300 yards of offense.
Right.
That's what they've done. That's incredible. That's league-leading type stuff, and that's why they're number one in the league right now. But the piece that's lost is these are the number one and two teams in the league in time of possession. Buffalo's number one, Atlanta's number two. And if you're if you're a defense that's only on the field for 25, 26 minutes, your numbers are going to look pretty good. So that's the part that's lost in this is how good both teams have been at possessing the ball. The thing that Buffalo's done better than Atlanta is they've finished drives in the red zone with touchdowns. That's why they're averaging about 32, 33 points a game. Atlanta's not been that good in the red zone. That has to change on Monday night.
I believe, Carl, we should all go under. Over-under, by the way, right now is about 49, 48 and a half. So for you gamblers out there, I think Arch just gave you some secret sauce. Dave Arch is with us here. Part of the thing with the defense is don't let the Bills get the ball at the 50. What does Marquise Williams have to do to tighten up special teams? Because teams has given up too many big returns. Is it because they're so banged up, Arch?
No, I think that, you know, there's just different, you're seeing, there's so much difference in opinion and maybe philosophy on how to return kicks, Mike, that it's interesting that I think we've had like one weekend we're really good, one weekend we're not very good. So I think it's still a feeling out process. I think that from an injury standpoint, I mean, I think we're as healthy as we can be. Obviously, A.J. Terrell is going to be back on the field for you. He's not going to play special teams, but he'll be back out there. But so I think you're going to feel as good as you can. It'll be interesting to see where Buffalo is. Ed Oliver has missed everything other than the first game. He's their really good defensive tackle that's been a really good player. He's the guy that made the play against Derrick Henry in that opening day game where he raked the ball out and ultimately led to that great comeback for Buffalo in that opening day game. He's been out since the first week of the season. Matt Milano, their outstanding linebacker, has been banged up. They've had some issues with some of their corners. So it'll be interesting to see what strength they're at defensively. But from a special team standpoint, I just think it's the ebb and flow, Mike, of trying to figure out this dynamic kickoff. And I'm using the air quotes on dynamic. It's funny how we come up with little names for each one of the things. But I think we're still trying to feel that one out.
Yeah. Arch, talk to us about what the difference was, in your opinion, with what we saw offensively. From the worst game to arguably one of our best against the Commanders, did we change a whole lot, or was it simply execution? What did you think the difference was?
Well, I think it's never one specific thing, right, Carl? But you touched on some of the stuff. Execution certainly is a big part of it. I think it was Richmond or John McKay said, "I'm all for it." Execution.
Yes.
So, we didn't execute very good in the game against Carolina. Did a much better job of that. I thought that Zach came up with some pretty cool nuances, too. I thought some of the stack formations that utilized Bijan Robinson out in the formation where you went 21 personnel. We'd seen a lot of 12, which is a one back, two tight ends. We saw that against how that paid dividends against Minnesota. Kind of flipped it around where you had Bijan and Tyler on the field at the same time. And so now you're having to stop a guy that's essentially a number one running back in Tyler Algier, and now you've got a guy that's dynamic out in space like Bijan Robinson, who could catch the ball like a wide receiver. That created some problems for Washington. They didn't know how to handle it. They didn't know whether to zone it off or to man it, and no matter what they chose, it was wrong. Now, I thought he did a good job with some of the stack formations with Kyle Pitts and with Drake London, where we got that early catch. Remember, Kyle makes the catch on the corner route early on in the game because of Washington was unable to sort that out.
Right.
Now we're going to see a little bit different coverage from this Buffalo team. Buffalo's going to want to try to disguise, make it look a one high look, and then they're going to rock back and try to play some of that umbrella stuff or Tampa 2 or cover 4. So it'll be interesting to see how much that potentially Michael could sort out and get the football to right people. But I thought Zach did a really good job of creating matchup problems for Washington with some of those stacked looks with two and three receivers.
Dave Archer joins us from the set of Grand Theft Auto here on Dukes and Bell. What about Kyle Pitts?
You heard that, though.
What about
somebody chasing Mike Bell down the road in the
backfield?
No.
No,
what, it was not. It
what
was
about,
not
but what about not. It? You know, because we said if Mooney's not up to being really 100% or up to snuff, can Pitts have a larger role? I know you mentioned the formations, but it seems like Pitts is just, there's touchdowns to be gotten in the red zone with him.
Well, you know, we've certainly got to convert, Mike. You're exactly right. We need to convert down in the red zone. I think Kyle's been very much involved other than down in the red zone. And in all honesty, nobody's been involved in the red zone. I mean, we finally got some guys to catch the football down there and get in the end zone. Drake got his first touchdown. And so you got four different guys score touchdowns. I mean, that's the diversity you're looking for. And how difficult is that to prepare for, where four different guys can touch you down in the red zone for touchdowns? So, yes, Kyle needs to be more involved, no question about it. But I would say that everybody needs to be a little bit more involved down there, and that's maybe where you felt like you got to a little bit last week with the Washington game, putting the points on the board that you did, and getting a number of guys involved down in that area. But I think Casey Washington is a guy that's going to continue to emerge as a guy that's going to be able to make plays. I don't think we can hold our breath on Darnell Mooney. I just don't know where he is. One, from a health standpoint. Two, from an attention to detail standpoint on some of the routes that he's run when he has been in there. I'm okay with Casey Washington playing, to be honest with you.
I am too. And I think Casey's done a really good job even going back to camp. We're talking with Dave Archer. He is the analyst for our Atlanta Falcons. A couple more things, Arch, before we let you go. It is Monday night. It always feels big, right, with Monday night. We got these primetime games, and I was saying to Mike, it's imperative that we play well to get the country, you know, to give the rest of the country a look at what we already know about this team. I still think we have a very good team, despite the Carolina thing. That was one blip on the radar. I just feel like we got to have a really good showing Monday night, and it always feels big.
There's no question, and the players know it, Carl, that, you know, you're the eyes of the entire league, other than I know it's two games on Monday night, so right. There'll be two teams that will be preparing to play a little bit later than we do that weekend or on Monday. But for the most part, everybody's watching. The nation's watching Monday Night Football, and so you know that as a player. But that's beside the point. What you're looking for is some consistency, Carl, and you're looking for the consistency of playing the way you did last Sunday against Washington, where you played solid defense when you're on the field, were able to win on third down. I mean, Washington was 1-for-8 on third down. They did make a couple of fourth down conversions, so 3-for-10 in all on third on a conversion situation. That's what you're looking for from a defensive standpoint. And then the explosive plays. You had big explosive plays in the game that led to four different guys scoring touchdowns for you. That's what you're looking for. And if the nation takes notice, then so be it. I don't really care about that. I just like to see us be as, you know, consistent offensively as we kind of thought we were going to be coming in. Remember the conversation was, hey, this team's going to really be good on offense. We don't know where we're going to get on defense. And it's been a little bit of the opposite. You know, you've been pretty good on defense, and you kind of were been inconsistent on offense. So you want to try to square that away to where every Sunday you're a formidable problem on both sides of the ball.
Hey, Arch, before we cut you loose, we were talking about it earlier in the show. You know, sometimes it's talked about on broadcast. Sometimes folks say it's a big nothing. Halftime adjustments. What the hell is going on at halftime? Are they making adjustments? How much time is spent by the, do the coaches come down from the booth? Are they stuck up there? Just explain to the audience what actually happens.
Well, from what I understand, Mike, they play bag toss at halftime. You know, they have the bags that represent each one of your schools. They have all the schools down there, and that's what they do at halftime. And then they just come out and roll the dice. No, I'm playing. What you're going to do is you're going to look at tendencies. There'll be coaches that are in the locker room prior to our coaches getting off the field. They'll go down early. Already have stuff written on the board. Okay, this is what we're getting on first and second down. This is what we're seeing on third down. And so you're going to tailor potentially what you'd like to go to. Now, does it change the game plan significantly? Not unless you're getting your rear end kicked. Then you would switch some things up significantly. But for the most part, you're going to accentuate something that worked. Like that stack look I was talking about. Let's get back to that. Let's get back to some of the things off of that are going to create some opportunities. But it's not. Sometimes it's just a kick in the pants by the coach saying, hey, can we play some football in the second half instead of jacking around like we did in the first half? It might just be a talking to.
Yeah. Look, I hope we don't have to have any conversations at halftime on Monday night. I hope we're in control of this game from start to finish. Should be a good one. Arch is going to be on the call with Wes, and we look forward to it. We'll see you up there this week as we get ready for the Buffalo Bills. Thanks again.
I can't wait to hear you guys doing it up big at the Cigna across the street there. That's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Right on. And then 4 hours of tailgating. Woohoo!
Leading up to...
Not that that's any different for you. I don't
know why that's leading up to a 7:15 kick. Great stuff, Arch. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, fellas. See you guys.
Yeah, you got it. And look, he's being, you know, tongue-in-cheek, but he's right. It just depends. I mean, honestly, guys, if you're up 28... Okay, that's a bad example. if you are up in a game and things are going your way, you don't need to come in and yell and scream. You just go, hey, come on, man, let's keep it moving.
Right.
Like, you know, so.
But it is funny because everyone always talks about it. And as I've heard, we've heard everyone say, that's some subtle adjustments. You just do your job, but nothing like the movies would make it out to be.
No. That inch. All right, coming up.
You know, when the brakes are beating the boys, get out there and win one for the Gipper.
Day-Day, we'll find out what's on his mind. Also, Connor Riley at 4 o'clock to talk dogs. Kirby talking about Auburn. We got to dive in, and we will. Stay there. That's going to come in about 15 minutes here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So much going on with the show, man. We're going to be out and about a lot, trying to keep you updated on all of that. But also want to let you know that we're doing a special live broadcast from Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram. Come out and join us. Great food, great drinks, preview of the Monday night game, and much more. That's Wednesday, tomorrow, 2 to 6 in Hiram. So we invite you guys to come join us. We'll have a lot of fun out there.
I'm going with Hiramites. I like it. It sounds very biblical because Hiram technically is from the Old Testament. So.
All right. I love it, man. We need to ask.
Like a bad thing, like the Sodomites. They weren't great.
Well,
though,
no, those
are
the bad people. The Hiramites. I think Hiramites
are
okay.
You put mites at the end of it, like it sounds kind of bad.
Well, I mean, the Dolomites are mountains. I mean,
Dolomite was a great character.
And Dolomite's a great character. So, I mean, you don't have to be all bad.
Did you see the Dolomite movie, by the way?
Way down in the jungle.
Yeah, yeah. Where Eddie plays.
Eddie was, yeah.
Yeah, it was good. A few years back, by the way. I think it was on Netflix.
You like Hiramite?
I do. No, I just.
The Hiramonian?
We should pose it to the audience tomorrow and see what they think. Yeah!
Hiram. Everybody from Hiram is near somebody. Because we had a big crowd. It's always a good scene. So join the party, pal, tomorrow, 2 to 6.
Day-Day, what's going on, man? How you doing today? What's happening
in
your
man,
world?
Hey, man, doing pretty good. So first off, Carl, just wanted to update you because you kind of brought this actually to my attention last week when you saw the notification about the Georgia High School Association considering a change in regards to the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
So they voted 66-1 yesterday to make this change in which they will use a points-based system to determine which teams get into the playoffs and how they're seeded. And basically what that means is even if you win your region, you're not necessarily guaranteed the number one seed as how the current formula is. Currently, it's the top four teams in each region. They get in no matter what. You know, you just finish 1-4, and usually the top team is the number one seed, so on, so on. So that's going to change up. It's going to have an impact on some of the smaller regions that only have like four or five teams because now likely only one, maybe two teams out of those regions will get in. So just wanted to update you on that because you brought that up last week.
I thought the seedings was interesting. Who was the one who voted against it? I thought the seedings were interesting. I think it makes for – because here's what you're trying to do. Some people say it's unfair. Some people, you know, when you have these classifications, 6A, 5A, 4A, there's a reason, obviously, when you talk about the population of the schools, more kids to choose from, you're trying to equal out the playing field. You don't want a 7A school that has 4,000 kids playing a 2A school that's got 300. And, you know, there's a difference there. And so I get all of that, but I also think there's something cool about being crowned a state champion when you have these seedings because you're going to eventually play the best teams in your like that. Now you truly are saying these are the best teams. We'll see how it goes and if everybody likes it. But, yeah, I want to know who the one person was who voted against
it. Yeah, that will be interesting. All right, moving on. Let's keep Deion Sanders in our prayers. Guys, it looks like he had to have a last-minute procedure dealing with blood clots once again.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah. Apparently, he was actually having some complications during their game Saturday against TCU. Said he was kind of struggling between standing and sitting, things of that nature. So, yeah, he's going to have a procedure. He does hope to come back. I hope he doesn't rush it and takes his time because, you know, look, say what you say about Deion, about Coach Prime, whatever you call him, he has been great for the world of football from his pro career to what he's been doing in college. So thoughts and prayers out to him in regards to that. All right, moving along, we now know NBC, NBA, that union is back and all that. Right, Round Ball Rock is coming back. Well, there's also going to be some other music.
Freaking John Tesh, man.
According to a report by John Lewis of Sports Media Watch, Lenny Kravitz will record a weekly open for Sunday Night Basketball.
Okay.
On NBC. So
where are we running? Right?
What do you guys think?
I'm a big Lenny Kravitz dude. I like Lenny. He did that cover. It may have been 2 years ago. Men's Health. Did y'all see this? And it was like, this is what 50s looks like. I was like, no, it doesn't.
In a gym working out leather pants.
Right.
I was like, dude, put a shirt on and stop this.
You see the
crazy
videos he was doing a couple of years ago where he was like popping up and play, like he was doing like these workouts and he just had on these leather pants.
You know, those are hot, man.
This thing is crazy. This came up. Somebody sent this to us a few weeks ago. I think we didn't have it in Guy Talk. Lenny Kravitz has stated in multiple interviews he's been celibate for 10 years.
Really?
A guy that basically
Lisa Bonet.
That 90% of the planet women would jump on his bones in a heartbeat apparently says that, yeah, it's been a spiritual journey. And until he gets married again, apparently, that he's just keeping his stuff pure.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's a big buildup.
Yeah.
What a friggin' waste.
Feel sorry. Hey,
I'm just saying.
Lisa Bonet put a spell on him, man.
I feel sorry for her.
She did, didn't she?
He's the least.
Eyes, man.
If you ain't going to be with me, you won't be with anyone.
Okay, Lisa.
Meanwhile, she's running around with Jason Momoa.
Yeah, right. Having more kids.
Right.
If I was Lenny Kravitz, I'd walk around with no pants on. But anyway, back to you, Dede.
All right. Looks like this Dabo Sweeney thing is catching on, man. We heard Kirby kind of clap back last week. Well, now Steve Sarkisian is kind of clapping back. Asked if he was, stunned or whatever by their loss. He says, I don't know if I'm stunned. I mean, take the other. How many teams are there in college football? 136. Take the other 135 and have them go play at Ohio State and the Swamp and see how they do.
Yeah.
But you lost.
And by the way, it's the stupidest. Carl and I were talking about this off the air yesterday. It's the stupidest thing he could say because you got more money than everybody. Okay, you got more money than every other school, and you're going to start complaining about your schedule? Coach it up. Figure out your run game, Sparky. Okay, or Sarky. I mean, Carl, you're a Texas guy. That was weak sauce, man.
We're keeping a buck right now. We ass.
What you said.
But no, this look, coach get in their fields, and they start playing. You can see everything. There's human beings. You press that button, man, you're going to get some gut reaction. That was his.
No, it's a soft response. Mike's right. Play better, coach them up better, be better. Just like that's what the response should be. You can't complain because here's the other part about this: these are the games that are going to make and break you. You're going to have to go play Ohio State. You're going to have, guess what? Florida is now, you're now in the SEC. You're going to have to go play Florida every now and then, and Georgia and Alabama. Get used to it. So yeah, I thought it was a weak sauce comment. I really did.
All right, last one here. You know, obviously there was a lot of talk about the buyout with James Franklin if Penn State was just so fed up and, you know, what that would cost and all that kind of stuff, which it was reported that it's a $50 million buyout, right? So I got to thinking, in this new world of NIL in college football, it's hard out here in these college football streets.
Hard in these streets, man. Mm-hmm.
Right? So could we see a trend of what UNC did with Bill Belichick in terms of how they structure these contracts where after X amount of time, that buyout becomes lower? Because you're not going to be able to afford to maintain a coach that's not keeping your program at the standard that you want and try to keep these college players on your roster.
Well, but it goes back to like Notre Dame, right? Remember they started outbidding themselves for guys? Yep. Was it Ty Willingham? Who am I forgetting?
It was. Yes. Right.
And it was Charlie Weiss. And they just, and it's like, whoa, why are you throwing that crazy money? Florida State did it with Norvell because apparently Alabama was calling after Saban announced he was leaving. So FSU freaked out. And now we're stuck with a guy who's just locked in mediocrity. Something we, the royal we. So, I mean, but it's interesting because agents, doesn't Jimmy Sexton rep everybody now?
Feels that way.
I mean, it just seems like, you know, if you're not going to give me that sort of extra security, every 11 or 10 win season means you got to just bump it up every year, doesn't it?
Yeah. Look, it's extra security for these coaches now, and it wasn't an intended factor. This was an unintended thing that happened with NIL. Mm-hmm. Everybody was so focused on the players getting paid and what that looked like. They weren't looking at what happens when you fire your coach. Mm-hmm. And so it's given them an extra security blanket. There's no doubt about it. And that we're not just talking about the buyout. We're talking about it's the 50 mil. Okay, so cut that check. Then it's, okay, you're losing all your players, so you're going to have to go. And this is why I've said you got to have this cap in place. Mm-hmm. That's the one cost certainty that you have to have. Because you know, all right, if we got to retool our roster, it's going to cost us this amount of money. Fine. It can't be we've lost our coach, we cut a check for $50 million, and oh, by the way, there's no cap, so now it's going to cost us another $50 million to replenish our players. Right. That's why it was so important for the schools to start paying these players. It's still not resolved, guys. We got to get to a CBA. Players got to sign with the school and stay there at least 2 years. That's going to be the issue that they've got to resolve. Because now I'm not jumping from team to team, Mike, and there's some kind of contract between this team, the university, and you, but they're not there yet.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I've always said that's what it's going to kind of take to kind of start steering the ship in the right direction. Some type of contract that you've agreed that you're going to stick it out with this school at least 2 years. And guess what? If you decide you want to break this contract and still transfer, well, then now you're not in, you're not eligible for NIL.
Correct. That's the point.
There's got to be something, right? That's but good luck with the adults ever figure this out. By the way, coming up in less than an hour, speaking of Belichick and coaches and contracts, the Hulu Coaches Show, that documentary now, apparently pulled the plug on it. We'll explain. Stick around.
All right, that's what's on my mind on a Tuesday, guys.
Good
stuff. But, you know, you've seen it, though. Coaches, they get these big deals, and then sometimes you feel like the school, you know what I'm saying? They outbid themselves. I don't know. It just frustrates me.
It is. And look, I don't think you deserve an extension until you've actually won something. That's where they go wrong. You win 7 or 8 games and they go, man, we haven't had this. We got to give them an extension. It's not enough.
Or make the buyout negotiable.
Either or. Hey, man, want to remind you, Bulldog Kia of Athens joined Bo Morgan. He's going to be out there Saturday noon to 2.
I'm Mr. Horsepower.
One lucky fan's going to win the ultimate tailgate kit, 50-inch 4K smart TV with a rolling stand and other prizes. Plus, another one is going to win some home tickets to an upcoming home game. Again, it's Saturday noon to 2. At Bulldog Kia of Athens. Bo's going to be out there in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're coming back. Connor Riley, speaking of the dogs, joins us next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.